Well, hello and welcome once again. We have a message for you today. I hope you will listen to intently. Did you ever wonder why in the scriptures that Jesus calls us his enemy? Well, we'll explain that as we go along. I've entitled my message today, A Man's Foes. A Man's Foes. Fee-fi-fo-fum. Which of the four is number one? Well, the answer is found in the book of Matthew and other places as well, but our emphasis will be on the book of Matthew. Let's ask the Lord in prayer to guide us tonight, that he would give unto me utterance, and he would give to you a good ear for hearing what is being said. And may your heart be open to it. May you receive a blessing as we bring these precious truths from God's Word out of the King James Bible. I thank you for joining me. And I do pray, when all is said and done, you rejoice, being glad that you listened today. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. If you would please open your King James Bible to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I use only the King James Bible, and there's a reason for that. If you listen into some of my other sermons, you'll discover that reason. I don't feel there's any other word that is the true word of God than the authorized King James 1611. Oh, I love it with all my heart and soul. Oh, and I pray you love it as well. Anyway, we're over in Matthew chapter 10, and follow along if you will. Matthew chapter 10, follow along as I read verses 32 to 38. Verses 32 to 38. Now this is Jesus speaking, because this is red letters. Every time Jesus speaks, we have the red letters, okay? Which is good. It's easy to determine who was saying it before we even look at it, really. Okay, 32 to 38. Whosoever therefore shall confess me, Jesus, before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, oh, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Ooh. Verse 35. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And verse 36 is the title of my sermon tonight, really. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. A man's foes, hear that well, shall be they of his own household. Verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Oh, wonderful words. We go on to verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Oh, these precious words. They say a lot. They tell you more than maybe you want to hear. But that's what this sermon is all about, is to help explain so you don't get it wrong. A lot of people look at it and say, Jesus, he hates us. He says we're supposed to hate our parents. He says we're supposed to hate our mother-in-law. Well, that's not too hard sometimes. Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. He says we're not to, we're to hate, rather. the daughters, the whole family, actually. But please listen carefully, and I'm sure when all is said and done, you will understand and agree. Just as I had a bit of a time with it as well. All right? Okay, now, the main answer here is found, unfortunately, in verse 36, where it says, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Well, unfortunately, I can testify to that. Although I love them dearly, I love every one of them so dearly, there is a wedge between us. A wedge, now get this, a wedge in the shape of a cross. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. You know, not a pretty thought, but nonetheless, from the Word of God. You know, what a powerful statement when you come to think about it. So packed with truth, really, proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. For sure, truer words were never spoken. Never spoken. Nope. And when they're spoken by the Lord, they're indeed gems of rubies and pearls. Oh, yes, they are. Gems of rubies and pearls. Many have looked at this one verse, Matthew 10:36. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. They've looked at it, and they've concluded, now listen carefully, that it's not of Jesus, that Jesus wouldn't say those things, but that it was forged by the publisher to create controversy. Let them be accursed. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. Oh, yes. And even before I became a Christian, I would testify there is no greater truth than Matthew 10:36. I experienced this, as I'm sure many of you have, firsthand, what goes on in your household. You can say, I love you with all my heart, with all my might, but yet you can be their greatest enemy, those of his own household. Now, if you have a red letter Bible, as I said, the King James, then you can plainly see these words were spoken by our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whatever said by the Lord Jesus Christ carries a lot of weight. If you're a believer, especially, unfortunately, the doubters and the blasphemers, well, they went right to town with this verse, full knowing that such a controversial statement would cause spiritual havoc among Christians. Wanted to shoot us down, so to speak. And that's what it has done for sure. Oh, yes. That's why many of the big mega churches today change the way they read the scriptures or omitted certain things that the people will have too much difficulty in understanding. Or they just don't believe them themselves. They can't seem to get a grip on them. In fact, it's become one of Satan's prime verses for creating doubt concerning the truths of scriptures. But it's there. It's real. And it will not return to the Lord void. No way. No way. Jesus has called his 12 elders, or pardon me, his 12 disciples, to give them, if you will, their marching orders. Oh, yes. I know what that's about, being in the military. In the book of Micah, the book of Micah, Micah 7, verse 6. Let's go there briefly. Micah 7, verse 6. Ah, here we are. The word of God has this to say, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Now, would God put that there if he didn't know what he was talking about? It's real, folks. It's real. Now, many of you can relate to it because you've gone through it. I've gone through it, and many, many more have gone through. But there are those who refuse to believe that, therefore have turned away from the Word of God just because of words like that. In the book of Micah, it says it. Look it up. Micah 7, verse 6. The Word of God has this to say. Now, I don't want to have to repeat it, but there it is. You can read it for yourself. The men of his own home. His own house. Now, if we look closer at Matthew, okay, let's go back to Matthew. If we look closer at Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, let's go there, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33, but whomsoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Verses 32 and 33, Matthew 10, we do indeed see here that Jesus Christ is very emphatic about what he's saying. And if anybody has a right to be emphatic, well, it's Jesus. It's him for sure. Oh, it is he. For look at the price he paid for our redemption. What a price. There's no price that can overcome that price. The price of a human life. The price of a human dignity. The price of a glorious resurrection. The price of eternity in heaven with our blessed Savior. Now, I talk to people who would rather believe Christ to take full ownership of we who give ourselves unto him just simply in faith believing. Well, that's true. If we believe in faith believe, then we become new creatures in Christ. After all, we're bought with a price. And not to become slaves to our master, but rather to be set free. And in that freedom, willingly serve him. And that would be a great pleasure, and I look forward to it. In days gone by, well, even today, people are bought on the slave markets by rich merchants. They lose their identity. They become the property of their owners. Well, that's not right. It's not right. But we who give ourselves freely over to Christ are not bond slaves. Nor are we even slaves, though we have been bought with a price far above rubies and pearls. We are purchased through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was done on Calvary's cross. Not by rubies and pearls. And we have become sons and daughters by adoption unto God by the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, it's a come as you are salvation, I guess you could say. Given only once and never. Get this, people, never to be undone. There are no preparations to get saved. You don't have to take a shower. You don't have to do your hair up fancy. There's no need to find a man of God. You just fall on your knees right where you're at and call out to God in faith, believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, then repent and ask God to save you. In verse 32, notice that the whosoever, that's a free invitation executed by faith in Christ and made manifest by God the Father. Whosoever, for this cause, Jesus made it clear in John 6, verse 44, when he said, "No man cometh to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." Now, did you get that? Listen carefully. I'm going to repeat that once more. John 6:44. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." Wow. In the prayer of salvation, all too often, God the Father is left out. He's left out of the whole prayer. And a short prayer is taken directly to the Son. Verse 44. There you have. Lest we forget, all that Jesus accomplished upon the earth was done for one purpose and one purpose only. To glorify His Father in heaven. To glorify His Father in heaven. Everything He done upon this earth. Now, I'm not saying that a shortcut is invalid here. But I will ask you this. What would Jesus do? And I'll leave it at that. Whatever you do, you should never leave God the Father out. Because Jesus wants everything to go through the Father. Everything. If we read verse 32 again, especially the last half, what we read is, "Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." You see, if the Father draw you to Jesus, then Jesus will confess also to His Father that He has you, that you belong to Him, that you have faith in Him, that you are truly saved. He'll confess that to His Father in heaven, although His Father already knows. But, you see, no man cometh unto the Father, unto the Son, rather, except the Father draw him. Now. But whosoever shall deny me before men, now that's the other side of the coin. Whosoever will deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Here we see that Jesus, well, He means business. And remember, to deny Christ doesn't always mean only a verbal declaration. Oh, no. You can deny Christ by simply saying or doing nothing at all. You hear people talking about Jesus Christ, talking about the gospel and how to get saved, and you don't do anything about it. That's denying Christ. You don't have to come out with a big blur. Here's a new word. Blurtation of words or sentences and say you don't believe in Him. All you got to do is just act stupid. And you're denying Christ. You're denying Him. That's your declaration. You can deny Christ simply by saying or doing nothing. I prefer to say silence in this case is not golden. Oh no. Oh no. Then we come to verse 34. Verse 34 in Matthew 10, where the proverbial rubber, so to speak, meets the road. This will be the Christ who stands on the Mount of Olives in the last days. And what does He say? "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." But a sword. Let's go over to Luke 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 12. And look at verse 49, rather. Luke 12, verse 49. "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what I will, I, if it be already kindled." Then go to 51. Verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division, separating the wheat from the chaff, you know? Oh, yeah. And then over to 51. Suppose ye that I am come, I've already read that one, verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, and two against three. Doesn't sound fair, does it? The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law, against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Wow. Sounds like a lot of chaos to me. But you know what? I've already seen that truth. Not since I've opened the scriptures, but in my younger life I've seen that. The father against the mother, the daughter against the mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and so forth. I've seen that. I've witnessed it. Oh, man, that's an ugly state of affairs. Oh. But you see, this is all scriptural. This is all scriptural. You know, if two people just live together for 60 years, you know, and they stay pretty much to themselves, you know, even though they can say, I love you, George, I love you, Fred, or John, or whoever the case may be, I love you, Wilma, I love you, Catherine. No matter what, you're bound to have your differences. You're bound to get a little bit edgy, and maybe get a little bit close to saying things you shouldn't say or doing things you shouldn't do. That's what it's all about, you know. That's what it's all about, yeah. Remember now, Jesus is giving marching orders to his disciples as to what they will be up against, see, so they'll expect these sort of things when they go into a home. That daughters will be against mothers and in-laws against in-laws and so forth. He's telling them what they expect to see. He's already warned them to be aware of men who will deliver them up to councils and scourge them. In Matthew 10, verse 17. Matthew 10, verse 17. We'll just move back here. Oh, we've got to go back here just a little bit. There, Matthew 9, Matthew 10, verse 17, right here. We read, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. There you have it. There you have it. And that they should not worry about what to say, for the Holy Spirit will give them utterance. Don't you worry. They will be persecuted. That's what he's telling the disciples. Not to worry. Expect persecution. And you'll be hated. Do not worry, he's telling them. He'll be with them. He will give them strength, for strength is needed. God doesn't abandon those who work for him. That's even us today. I ask you, do you envy them what lies ahead? Do you envy them for what lies ahead? I think not. I think not. We don't know the half of what the disciples put up with. We know how they ended their lives, but we don't know all the things that they went through and held firm, suffered persecution, and were hated every corner. Then in verse 35 of Matthew 10, Jesus makes it known to his disciples the totality of what they will encounter. What they will encounter. Verse 35, I am come to set a man at variance, to see a man differently, he's saying, against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, this is what we're talking about. This applies not only to then, but to now, to before. This is normal, everyday living. In verse 35, Matthew 10, we read all this. And the all too often outcome is found in verse 36. And this is the title of my message. And a man's foes shall be those of his own household. Isn't that terrible? You would think you could go there for all the love and the comfort, you know, and repose that you need. You don't want to go there and get into a words, you know, contrary to each other, and to start looking at each other terribly and even hating each other. But God warns that a man's foes shall be those of his own household. A dad trying to make his children understand right from wrong. They look at him sometime like he's their enemy. A husband speaking to a wife, trying to tell her that God says this is how it should be done. This is where, you know, I wrote a sermon on the virtuous woman, and I don't know if anybody's even listened to it. Anyway, it's there, and I got it out of the Bible. It's made out of Proverbs. Now you can read it yourself. But that's very well connected to what the Lord is saying here. He, verse 36 and 37, he that loveth father or mother, this is so important, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Meaning, I am greater than they. And he is. There's nobody greater than God. To love me is to put me first, he's saying. You put him first in all things. That's what's expected. Look, he put you first when he went to Calvary, didn't he? So tell me, how is it in your family? Do you love your family members more than you love Christ? A lot of people would just say, well, of course, what a stupid question. Not according to God, it's not. Do you love your family members more than you love Christ? More than the Savior of this world? Are you, as the head of your household, ready to give Jesus the preeminence? Or does that old devil have a stranglehold on them? A man cannot serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24. He cannot serve God and mammon. You know, unless God is the master or head of your home, then all that's been said, all that's been heard here today will surely come to pass. You cannot serve two masters. You must believe that. Joshua made the right decision when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You know who's the head of Joshua's house? Joshua. Who should be the head of your house? Mister? The man is always the head of the house. You know, back in Genesis, God said, the man shall be the head of the woman. And that's not changed. Although you'd think, by looking at the world today, that the man was inferior to the woman. And she's got it all out of whack. And it's not working the way God intended. Get things straightened out, people. Get things back in order the way God wants them to be. Or are you too proud? Well, there's no room for pride in heaven. No room at all. Can you say the name in your home? Can you say the name in your home? Or does Matthew 10:36 have dominion over your home? A man's foes shall be they of his own household? Oh, yes, all too true. all too true and continuing to be true. Before saved, now before saved, this happened to me. I want to relate this and then I'm finished. This is my other life before I come to know Christ. Okay? Before salvation, what I used to do, I used to be the only one in my home, my household, that would, I was a Catholic back then, and of course I didn't know any better. I was a Catholic for 47 years before the Lord dragged me out practically by my heels and gave me a good trouncing and said, get out of there. What are you doing in there? Never been the same since. Praise be to God. Anyway, back in those days, when I was wanting to go every Sunday to the Catholic Church, because I figured that's the thing I was supposed to do. Although my mom and dad never went to church, but that's what I figured I was supposed to do. So what I did, I wanted some of my family to go with me, and I wasn't about to grab them by the neck and drag them down the road with me. I wanted them to go willingly, and I didn't want to have to bribe them either, like some people do. So I would just simply write a little note, put it on the fridge door. All who want to go to church with me, sign your name here, and I will wake you up in the morning. And I get up the next morning, I went to the fridge to open it, and there's a note on the door, and there's a name on it, and it's the name says Blackie. Now, I don't have any children. I never had any children named Blackie. But I did have a dog named Blackie. You know what? Nothing hurt me more than that. Nothing could hurt me more than that. Not only did they reject going to church with me, but they also made me look like a fool. And as their father, the man of the house, and even my own wife wouldn't go with me. Oh, that's all I'm going to say on that, you know. Now, you got to understand something before I close out here. To hate somebody, is, especially according to Scripture, is in comparison to God. It means God is the greatest love of our lives. And we love Him so much that everything else we have to almost hate or just put aside. He comes first. He's the great love of our lives. It's not a literal despising hate that many of you may gather. This is the cost of a discipleship with Christ. Forsaking all. Includes your mother and father and sister and brother and on your lifestyle. And following Christ. That's the message here. Verse 37, he who loves mother, father, family before Christ will be denied. You can't love your family more than you love Christ. They didn't die in Calvary for you. He did. So I have this to say, and that's it. To the unsaved, well, these verses would seem to indicate that we are to really hate our families. I emphasize, on the contrary, Jesus is comparing who should be first when it comes to godliness. Did you hear that? Jesus is comparing who should come first when it comes to godliness. The love you have for Christ and what He has done for us, there is no greater love among man. If Christ is not first in your life, then Christ is not in your life. God bless you. Thank you for listening.